I think I do. Last time, Brother David had to run up and get me turned on. But he's always look forward to the chance to stand here and open up this word. Right before I get on this, I want to thank me. I know a lot of y'all are praying for Bryce, my son, and I just want to thank y'all for that. He on a phone call with him and his mom. I was in there. I got to be in there. A lot of times I don't get to be there, but I got to be there on this certain phone call that was happening. And she'd been telling me he has such an excitement in his voice, such as he is so excited. He's made a lot of good friends and roommates that he's got, and how they work together, and just he is just really seems to be doing really, the Lord really blessing, using him real well. And I just want to thank you all for your prayers, we appreciate it. But if you have your Bibles, if you go to the book of Luke with me, Luke chapter 15. We're going to look at a little parable here. I think I can maybe glean something out of here, one little nugget that maybe will be fresh or something that new, different to that way. But we'll start in a little bit, it'll be verse 11, but let me say this. I heard something told me, I was privileged for a long time. I got to hear a man I greatly admired, his name is Dr. Curtis Hudson. He's the second editor of the Sword of the Lord newspaper. And I got to travel around and hear a bunch of Sword of the Lord conferences and preaching stuff. And I really admired this man, and he really taught me a lot. I got some of his books. And he said this about a parable that really helped me. He said that Jesus used parables a lot as he taught the disciples and the multitudes. And he said, the way to look at a parable is this. Look at it as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly story being told, a true story, not a make-believe fiction thing, a true story with earthly characters, but the meaning is a heavenly meaning, something about the kingdom of heaven and something about God the Father. Because think about it. When Jesus taught people, he's trying to teach about heaven and God, right? There was no point of reference, was there? I mean, he had been there, but nobody else he talked to had. You know, like when you talk about places you've been on trips, and somebody's in there, and they've been with you, and they talk about how you've been to those places, okay? And somebody sees this, and all remembers this, and somebody remembers that. But there's points of references that goes on, right? Jesus didn't have that. When he was teaching, and he was trying to teach, and he across heaven, he didn't have that as he taught that. So the parable brought kind of that gap. It kind of jumped that gap, and it had earthly characters and earthly events to it, but it had a deep meaning. It had a meaning. It had meanings in it about heaven and about the character of God. Okay, so that's what we're going to try to do tonight in this parable. The prodigal son is put out a little nugget of a earthly meaning. I mean, a heavenly meaning from this earthly character. In verse 11 of chapter 15, it says, "And he said," that's our Jesus speaking, "and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." Now let me say this. Let me set something up that's going to be important in a little bit. Just step there. Right there, Jesus don't tell us, he don't give us details about how long it took him to get to this far country. We know it's a long way, it's a far country. But I think we can surmise in there when it looks about it saying he's wasted his substance, riotous his living, and he's just been given all this money. He'd never seen this amount of money in his life, you know. I just imagine that he got to that far country probably in a pretty quick way, because he was ready to get into that lifestyle. He was ready to get to that, doing that. And I mean, if he had to hire, to buy the biggest horses to put on a chariot or a big horse, I don't know what he used. I don't know what the transportation was. But however it was to get to where he was going, at this point, at this time, because this is going to be important for later, at this time, he had the means. He had all that money. He had all the, he could throw it out there. And I think he got to that far country that he mentioned, and about as quick as a way as he could back then, okay? And then it goes on, and it says, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine." So right there we see him It talks about him wasting that substance. He gets there, and in no time out of time, he's blown all that money. And now then, he says he's joined to a citizen feeding swine. And that's about as low as a Jewish boy can get. I mean, the Jews, you know, they considered at this time, and it's still today some men do, but they considered the pigs and the swine to be an unclean animal, and they wouldn't have nothing to do with them. They wouldn't eat them, they wouldn't raise them, they wouldn't have nothing to do with them, you know. And so for this Jewish boy now to be putting himself to a citizen here in this country and feeding the swine, he's progressed down pretty quickly. He's went down pretty quick on where he's at. And then verse 17, verse 19 here, it says in 16, and he fain would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came into himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. You think about that. He begins looking back at his home, back with his dad, back at the home there and stuff. And I think he gives us a good clue here that he talks about the servants of that dad having plenty of food and plenty of bread and plenty of care. So I know we can know that his dad evidently was a very godly man, a man that really centered his life around, you know, God, around seeking God and being good to the servants there. So this young boy in verse 19, it says, let's see, I think I read that. Let's see, 19 says, I said, oh no, verse 18, and I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. So he begins to think about he's going to go back. I forgot to tell you at the beginning, I always give little titles to my messages. I forgot to say it. You'll see why in a little bit of stuff. But the title of this tonight is Something Loudly Spoken But Never Heard. Something very loudly spoken out, but never heard. Okay? And so now then we see this son, he starts thinking about he's going to go back. He says, I got to go back to my father. And he starts thinking, what am I going to say? So he knows his dad is a God-fearing Jew. And he says, hey, I know I'll say I've sinned against heaven. My dad will be excited about that. He'll be proud that I'm realizing that. I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you, Dad. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. But now look at this. The Bible only gives me the very first part of verse 20, just a little few words. It says, and he arose and he came to his father. But stop there. What happened after he arose? Remember I told you he got to that far country probably pretty fast, right? He had the means to which to get there. His journey back, I believe, is a lot more harder. I believe he don't have the means now. He's wasted everything. Everything's gone. He doesn't have that fancy means. Now then, he's deciding that he's done wrong. He needs to get back. But the trip back is going to be a lot longer. It's going to be a lot harder because he has, like I said, the means. So I can just imagine in my mind that as he's starting back and going, he's probably practicing in his mind. Boy, when I see Dad, when I do good see him, I'm going to say, Dad, I've sinned against heaven. I know I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you, Dad. And he's practicing what he's going to say. You know what? And, you know, I don't think he's going to murmur under his breath. I don't think he's going to just kind of whisper out. I think he's getting convicted in his heart. I think he's going to truly say what his heart is burning to say, okay? And so he starts back. It just tells us there. And then it goes on. It tells us after the journey, the long journey back, it says, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, here it comes. Verse says, and the son said, he's about to say what he's been practicing, I'm sure, for weeks or months. I don't know how long that trip back was, but I know it was a hard, long trip. He's been practicing. He's been thinking about, just got to get it just right. And now then he comes out in there and he says, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I am no more worthy because thy son. But before he can finish anything else here, look, it also says, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. So you see, I believe he spoke to dad in conviction. I believe he spoke out of his heart. I believe he loudly spoke. But it was never heard. It was never heard. The dad never heard a word of it, you know? Now, can I have to give you a heavenly nugget here? I believe Jesus is trying to teach here that one of the characters of God, the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, is his forgiveness is complete. It's complete. When we put our faith and trust in his son, Jesus, God's forgiveness is total. It's complete. There's no more dwelling on past sins or past heartaches or past failures or past things. God's forgiveness is total. I mean complete. Brother David, Sunday night, he talked about David and the sin that he had committed and having a husband killed, and things that he could have dwelt on, but he didn't. I mean, he forgave it. He got to God. He confessed it out. He stood up for it, and he didn't dwell on that past thing, did he? And God was able to continue to use him in a mighty way. And the Apostle Paul had mentioned about how he looked forward to things ahead. You see, I believe that's one of Satan's biggest tricks or weapons. Once a child of God receives, once we become a child of God and we receive Jesus into our heart, the devil can change that in any way. He has nothing to do there. But his main focus then is to make sure we are not an effective Christian. We don't get to tell others about him, about this. He don't want us to affect anybody else. So he tries to make Christians dwell on past failures and heartaches and past sins and past stuff. And if he can get a Christian person, somebody that's already put their heart to Jesus, if he can get us thinking about things of the past, he can make us be ineffective for things of now, you know? And I believe that's what Jesus, that's one nugget of the thing that Jesus is trying to say, hey, God's forgiveness is complete. You know, we've heard them, Psalms, to turn now, I'll read it here. But Psalms 103 and verse 12, you know, that's the one that says, as far as the east is from the west, and so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Man, as far as the east from the west, he's saying the sin is, you know, gotten rid of. And it says over in Psalms 85 verse 2, it says, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins. Selah. I love that. He's forgiven it. You've covered all the sins. And we've all heard, remember 1 John 1:9, where it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know? So I believe one of the things that Jesus in this parable, as he's talking, as he's telling this story about this father and about a son and we can relate to the father and the son and going off to this country and coming back, and now then the dad is glorious, glad to see him back and welcoming him back in and not hearing his confessions of other things. I believe he's trying to say, hey, you're just like this prodigal son. All your sins. God the Father has said, hey, they're forgiven. He forgives completely and totally. There's a song, I didn't write it, but David knows a little song. Remember that song, What Sin Are You Talking About? There was one song that said, man, you'll be playing with Dumb. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. God said, it's forgiven. It's forgotten, you know. Don't dwell on that. Because like I say, I believe that's a tool of Satan. I believe that's how he keeps a Christian to be less effective when we get down or we get ourselves. We let ourselves get down on past things that God says, hey, it's forgiven. So something was very loudly spoken by that young man coming back, but it was never heard. It was never heard by that father because he had already said, hey, you're forgiven. The same thing's true about our Heavenly Father. and our sins. You know, when we put them under Jesus, when we put them with Him. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this, Lord, time that we've had to look into your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for these lessons that you taught us, Jesus, out of your word. Lord, it just really does, Lord. There's so much can be found in it, Lord, and we just pray that we'd always look to and rest upon the promises and truths that you give us. Thank you for the forgiveness that we get from you, Lord, and from the Heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray that we would just be clean and sure of that, Lord, that Lord, we don't have to reflect on the past of anymore. And Lord, and it does say that if we mess up in some ways in the future, you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us still once more, Lord. And just thank you so much, Lord, for all that. Lord, do be with us now as we dismiss out of here. Lord, give us safety to our travels. And Lord, be with everybody. There'll be some traveling out of town this week. Be with them. Be with others. And be with our preacher. Lord, that he gets back good and safe, Lord. And just bless this coming, Lord, today in a special way, Lord, as we meet here in your house, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.